This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WPHT-WPHT-HD-WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Oh, Ukraine getting 31 M1 Abrams tanks. How long does this go on? Will Congress ever have to actually vote on a declaration of something, anything? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Always a pleasure to welcome back to the show a true Philly original. Dr. Victoria Coates is the former Deputy National Security Advisor and Senior Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Dr. Coates, how are you today?
I am well, Rich. And the important part first, I just came down from New York and there are some sad folks up there. Who are still licking their wounds.
And we're not talking about the gas stove ban. We're talking about Giants fans, right?
We are talking about the Giants fans. It might be a little bit even worse than the Mets fans. It was a sad crowd up there.
I'm feeling good about Sunday, I got to tell you. I really am feeling good.
As good as we can feel. I know we collectively tend to fear the worst for good reason, but I'm excited actually to see San Francisco. I think they're an interesting team, but I like the matchup.
I do too. And Jalen Hurts, as long as he's playing, I feel good. That's what I'm going to say. You know what I mean? Hurts so good when that guy actually plays, and we saw when he wasn't playing that, you know, we kind of need him. So
right, I'm with you. The heart is gone when he's not there.
It really is. It's so true. All right, we got that out of the way, Dr. Victoria Coates. Now let's turn to Ukraine, which matters a whole lot less in my mind. But today the president announced 31 M1 Abrams tanks going to Ukraine. Of course, they won't go there right away. And then I guess other European nations are also going to be giving them tanks. Explain all of this for us.
Well, it's been a really interesting situation. The logical tank to send them is the German-produced Leopard 2, and both the Poles and the Germans have plenty of Leopards to send Ukraine. And the Poles they've been a staunch partner throughout this whole year-long exercise. They were ready to go send those to Ukraine. The Germans really held us hostage, saying that they would not commit their Leopards, and they might prevent the Poles, because it's their export to Poland, from sending their Leopards to Ukraine unless we committed the Abrams. And I have to say, I found that shameful. You know, here we have Germany, which basically perpetuated this whole thing by their determination to sign on to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, determining what aid we may or may not give, we as the number one aid giver to Ukraine. And the last time I looked at a map, it's a whole lot closer to Germany than it is to the United States. So I don't know why they're making demands. So I don't necessarily object to sending the Bradleys. We've sent an awful lot. I don't understand why this is a good idea this week, and it wasn't a good idea 6 weeks ago when the Pentagon was warning against it. But I think it's not a good precedent to let the Germans ride roughshod over us like this.
Yeah, that's a great point. Nobody's talking about that fact that really Germany made the decision here. And Joe Biden today acted like, oh, our buddy Germany. You know what I mean? Like oh, our good friends, Germany. I mean, this was dictated by them.
It was completely dictated by them. And they've done a number of things. I mean, they have been forthcoming with some aid. And, you know, I want to give them credit for that. But on other things like the troops that they committed to Lithuania, which, like all the Baltics, is rightly nervous about this entire situation. Suddenly they come back and say, actually, it's not going to be a real brigade that we're going to put in Lithuania. It's going to be virtual. Well,
a virtual brigade.
I don't know.
On Zoom? Is that what they're going to be on Zoom, basically?
Maybe on Zoom, as the Russian tanks roll through. you're going to be, please unmute yourself. It just doesn't seem serious. And I think we can't allow Germany, you know, the number one economy in Europe, and to some extent, this is also going to fall on the French and the Italians, but the Germans are the ones who are really throwing their weight around here. You know, I think the administration needs to be clearer on what the United States will and will not do at this point. And I think Congress, until President Biden comes to them and doesn't treat them like the enemy, but actually treats them like partners on this and explains to them his strategy to win, they should rightly be skeptical of any additional requests.
You said, and I saw this piece posted online, former Deputy National Security Advisor Victoria Coates, quote, "We are literally paying Putin to invade Ukraine. We're financing it." What did you mean by that?
Well, it's happening on a couple of different realms. I mean, we are paying him in terms of allowing continued exports of Russian energy into Europe. There are some countries, North Macedonia, there are a couple of other ones. They're small countries, but they are 100% reliant on Russian exports. And there's nothing they can do independently. You know, and they'll come to us at Heritage and say, help us. You know, and we as a think tank are somewhat limited. But the administration, if they were serious about this, about cutting off Putin's energy exports to Europe, you could help them develop a natural gas import facility or connect them by a pipeline to some other source so they wouldn't have to import Russian gas. Of course, none of that is happening, and we are not ratcheting up our exports to the extent that we could in order to satisfy that kind of need. So we're basically letting Putin continue to finance himself through exports to Europe as he makes war in Europe.
It's amazing and mind-boggling. And the question I keep getting asked on Twitter today, Dr. Coates, is, Rich, what are 31 M1 tanks going to do? I mean, what's the impact here it's going to have on a war with Russia? It seems like, especially given the timing of when they will arrive over to Ukraine, by then the war may have escalated even more. It seems like we're going to probably have to supply them with even more munitions and hardware after this, right?
Well, that's been my question since really last April, when it was clear that the Ukrainians were fighting back, that they were not going to, you know, just give up and have a 3-day war. And Congressman Chip Roy and I wrote an op-ed in the Hill last April, so we're coming up on the year anniversary of that as well. You know, just saying we need some kind of a strategy here for victory. And in the case of the Abrams, I'd ask the same question we asked about the Patriot in December, is why now? Why weren't you rolling this stuff in there in July, August of last year, and really giving the Ukrainians a chance to win? Why are we grinding through, you know, this human misery, these ongoing price spikes, all of the bad things coming out of this war? Let's wrap this up, and let's not give the Germans a veto over whether or not we're going to do that.
Yeah, it seems like, and that's a big part of the frustration a lot of people have, is we should either be all in or all out. This kind of piecemeal thing that we're doing here seems to only be just making this go on and drag out here. And, you know, if you say that, people then accuse you of wanting Putin to win, which is just ridiculous. But at the same time, then they will turn around and say, well, then you want World War III and you want to have an all out war against Russia. It just seems to me like we are engaged in war with Russia right now. And it seems to me like we are engaged with European nations in a war against Russia right now. We're just not calling it that, and we're not doing it the right way.
Well, I might turn that around a little bit. I'd say Russia's engaged in a war with us. I mean, we're not the ones who rolled the tanks in.
True. Maybe engage is not the right. I don't mean it as in sort of the precipitating it, but yeah, it actively ongoing, I should say.
Exactly. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go on Putin for this, and I'm happy to dole that out. But I think, you know, we have been doing this kind of hand-wringing exercise about everything. You know, it's the javelins, it's the HIMARS, it's the ATACMS, you know, and I'm not saying we should give Ukraine everything it wants the minute it asks for it, but there has to be a way to evaluate these requests somewhere other than in the press, so that everybody can see that we're indecisive and wondering whether or not we're going to supply it. So I think the problem is there's no plan. Because if you said, okay, we will start with this, that, and the other, this is how we're going to escalate. The plan is to allow them to expel the Russians from, you know, whatever it is, 95, 100% of Ukrainian territory by X date, at which point we will declare victory, and this is when we go into negotiations. You don't have to give me much more than that. I'll be like, okay, you know, and things can change, but at least this is, there's a plan on the ground, and we still keep getting from the president, and he said it again today when he referred to the Secretary of Defense as the Secretary of the Military. I mean, honestly, yeah. You can't make this stuff up. But I mean, he just kept saying we're going to do as much as we have to for as long as we have to. That's where you're losing the American people. They don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly right. Well said. Dr. Victoria Coates is with me, former Deputy National Security Advisor and Senior Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Obviously, as the former Deputy National Security Advisor, you've seen your fair share of classified documents over the years, I would imagine, your time in the Trump administration. So what's your take on all this right now with Biden and these classified documents?
Well, I had the distinction in the spring of 2020 of being the most examined person in the U.S. government, because I had had my transition from the NSC to the Department of Energy, which meant I had to be read out of everything for the NSC and then back into it for DOE. And DOE actually has a higher level of classification than anything else because of the nuclear file. So at one point, one of my interviewers was just laughing at me, and he was like, we literally know everything about you. You don't have to talk. So, yes, I've had a history with this, but on this particular file, being director of research on Donald Rumsfeld's autobiography is when I really, really went into the archival process. And when you have a senior civil servant like that, who's, you know, served in Congress, served in the executive branch, served in a department at a high level, you know, certainly equivalent of what President Biden has done, you know what it takes to manage these papers. And, you know, in a case like Vice President Pence, sure, you know, you can have a box that can go astray. And I know Secretary Rumsfeld was very concerned about that and had directed all of us, you know, to watch very closely for anything that was misfiled or misplaced. But the notion of having all of these documents just lying around your house is insane. And, you know, the fact that they could have been there for more than a decade, in the case of the Senate papers, I mean, when I worked for Senator Cruz and had my clearance through the Armed Services Committee, I mean, we had no opportunity to remove classified material from Senate security. We went, they handed us our document or whatever it was. We went into a room if we were together, or, you know, if I read something and thought he needed to read it, you'd get him to come down. But then they'd take it away from you when you left. So this notion that somehow Senate papers have gotten into the mix is what actually really sets off the most alarms for me.
Yeah, and I think the question was asked today to John Kirby by, I think it was Peter Ducey, who said, you know, how is it possible that somebody can walk out of a skiff with documents? I mean, Sandy Berger, what did he shove them down his pants or something like that years ago when he worked for Clinton?
Pants or socks. I mean, you make it
straight. One or the other. Maybe both, Dr. Coates. It's possible. You never know. But no, but I'm serious. I mean, how does this stuff wind up in a box in Biden's garage in Wilmington? Did you see the picture of that box, too?
I did. And, you know, and you see the pictures of Hunter in the car. So you know Biden's taking everybody into that garage to see that car. It's his prized possession. So everyone who comes to Wilmington goes and sees the car. And they all can see the box, and I'm sure the box says on it, important documents. And, you know, Miranda Devine may the Lord bless her for all her good works, made the point today that in her research on the laptop, there's that very detailed email from Hunter to his Ukrainian contacts as he was getting ready to sign the Burisma contract, which does not read like Hunter Biden's other emails. It's almost scholarly in its discussion of the Ukrainian government. And, you know, you have to ask, how did he get all that information? And, you know, was this some kind of conduit to him so he could get that contract? I mean, I actually remember where I was in the Senate when my then assistant told me he had joined the Burisma board. And I thought, what? You know, this was like 2014. Like, how on earth did Hunter Biden go on the Burisma board? It just makes no sense. And the one other thing, without joining too much into the conspiracy theory crowd, is getting back to the German issue and all these other things that are going on. Our ambassador to Germany is Amy Gutman, who signed my diploma from Penn, which I'm sure will be rescinded at some point.
Yeah, you're too good for them anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that ship has sort of sailed for academia for me. But she's our representative in Germany, and she is completely complicit in the Biden Penn Center, in the millions of dollars from China, in the $900,000 they were paying the former Vice President Biden in those years, you know, out of those coffers. You know, this all just smells to high heaven.
I am so glad that you raised those two points about Miranda Devine and that email that Hunter Biden wrote about Ukraine, because there was a lot to that in terms of the strategic impact of the bridge in Crimea and the implications for energy and security in the EU and the UK, and way more detailed than anything Hunter Biden normally wrote, which was what usually a typical idiot writes. And that's why I think it really stands out there. And you have to ask yourself the question, how did Hunter come up with all this stuff? And yeah, I agree. God bless Miranda Devine for asking this point, because that absolutely has to be something we talk about. And that's why I think this issue is not going to go away, because let's not forget, we have the ongoing investigation of Hunter Biden that's going on in Delaware right now. And the other point too about Amy Gutman, which is important, and I'm glad you hit that as well, is that what about all the international contributions that are going the way of Penn and the Penn-Biden Center? Because that seems to be a kind of a big deal. And I know that Jim Comer has said they want to do an investigation into this, and I really think they should.
Well, it goes to the broader issue of Chinese influence in our major research universities. And you know, as a fighting Quaker, I don't want to pick on Penn. I mean, you can pick on MIT. You can pick on, you know, Harvard. Certainly all of these universities have tremendous exposure to the PRC, which has been built up over years. But I think it would be valuable to start here and then see how these kinds of webs of influence from China are built, because the other piece of this is that David Cohen, who was chairman of the board of Penn when all of this went down, is now our ambassador to Canada, which is one of the single most lucrative political ambassadorships you can achieve. And so you've got these two principals in Penn's administration now basically serving at the highest levels of the Biden administration. And that's just a problem.
So well said. Dr. Victoria Coates, former Deputy National Security Advisor and Senior Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and possibly the smartest Philadelphia Eagles fan in the entire country.
It comes as a package, Rich.
Obviously. Go Birds, my friend. Thanks for your time. And let's do this again very soon.
Sounds good. Go Birds.
Free Range Zeoli. 45 minutes of nonstop talk. Talk radio 1210 WPHT and on the Free Odyssey app.
You know, a smile is a beautiful thing in life, is it not? It shows the world so much, and you need a good smile. So go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. He is the master of dental implants, and he's where my family goes, the whole family. Mama's the only discovered him, and I go there, Bridget goes there, the kids go there. Baby Reagan's going to have her first appointment with Dr. Mike coming up in a couple months. And What makes him different is the fact that you see all these national chain dental offices that are out there. Well, Dr. Mike is not obsessed with cost like those chain dental offices are. He is obsessed with care. And that's why for decades, people have been traveling to see him from all over the country. Mama Zioli comes up from Myrtle Beach. People come from Florida, California, Texas, and yes, Pennsylvania as well. Two offices to serve you right over the bridge, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So go see him. Get a free consultation for those dental implants today. You'll be in great shape. Pain-free root canal treatment is available. Pediatric general cosmetic dentistry. And why are dental implants so complicated? Because this is it's such an important procedure that you don't want to go to just any dentist down the street. You want to go to somebody who will give you a free consultation, who has done this for a lot of people and has a great track record in it too. Because this is your smile we're talking about. So go to the best. Go to VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com.
Live and local all day with Kale and Company, Don Stensland, Dom Giordano, and Rich Cioli on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I see Main Street closing, miles of for sale signs. And them fields ain't growing fast enough to get us by. I feel the sweet release of a Friday night. For a couple of hours we can run this town till it runs dry. Tip it on back, make it feel good. Sip a little more than you know you should. Let the smoke roll off of your lips. Let it all go, whatever it is, and tip it on back. So grab the girl you came with and set her world on fire. And watch her sway and sing into the music until it's all right. Yeah, tip it on back, make it feel good. Sip a little more than you know you should. Let the smoke roll off of your lips. Let it all go, whatever it is, and tip it on back.
All right, gotta get my head in the game here because we got an hour left. Which is crazy, but it's a shorter show tonight. We have basketball coming up at 6:30, or possibly women's highlight, maybe college basketball. I'm not quite sure what we have, or volleyball. I don't even know, but we have some sporting contest coming our way at 6:30 today.
It's Temple basketball.
Right. Right. Temple basketball. Yes. Temple basketball, because everybody wants to hear that at 6:30. There are dozens of people who want to hear that.
That might
hundreds
be
hundreds of thousands who don't, but dozens who do. So, you know, it's a trade-off, right? Everything in life is a trade-off.
The dozens might be a generous estimation.
Okay, hang on a second here. Dr. Coates was great as always. She was fantastic. Always enjoy her perspective on things and good conversation to have. There's a lot to digest there. There really is. And I'll tell you something else, too. You know, COVID-19 was a big part of what Governor DeSantis talked about last night. Two things I want to mention. Number one is the fraudulent lockdown era unemployment payments may amount to $60 billion, according to a government watchdog group. Fraudsters may have stolen as much as $60 billion from the various unemployment insurance programs enacted by the lockdown era stimulus bill. $60 billion. Don't you think a lot of that has to do with making people rich? All these lockdowns? Like, don't you think? Making people rich? All this? Like, you know, like the house always wins again? Lockdowns cost a lot of money to people, and then a lot of people got rich off of lockdowns. Something we don't talk about. But they also say right now, a conservative estimate, conservative $60 billion. Some $878 billion was paid across all unemployment insurance programs between April 2020 and September 2022. The unprecedented demand for benefits and the need to implement the new programs quickly increased the risk of financial fraud. Over my dead body, Dr. Jordan Peterson says. He announced in May 2021 that he would be getting the COVID-19 vaccine, citing insufficient antibody levels. The esteemed psychologist, one of my favorite guys out there, I don't have like a man crush on him or anything, but he's a great, great smart guy. He indicated Thursday he had been fooled and has since made clear that notwithstanding demands by both the Biden administration and Canada's Justin Trudeau, he will not be fooled again. He suggested Thursday that he got vaccinated because, quote, I naively believe that the woke force mongers would leave me the hell alone. Well, fool me once, he said. He was responding to a tweet from Israeli artificial intelligence researcher Eli David that said, I got COVID shots in 2021 because I believed the claimed clinical trial results and trusted the FDA. But looking at mountains of evidence since, I no longer think I made the right decision. These shots are much more dangerous and much less effective than claimed. Yeah, you think? And I think a lot of people were in the same boat. I think people back then did what they thought they were doing to help other people and to protect other people. That's what we were told anyway. Of course, they knew back then, even though they lied to us, that the vaccines would not stop transmission. That was a big lie. And who benefited from those lies? Well, obviously the pharmaceutical companies did, but there's something else too. When you look at the issue of Dr. Fauci, and what I loved last night was when DeSantis said, I was elected by the people of Florida to protect their businesses and protect their liberty, and I certainly was not going to allow Anthony Fauci to make decisions for my state and my people. And that's when he cited the comment by former President Dwight D. Eisenhower about the health security industrial complex, for scientific industrial complex, whatever you want to call it. Very akin to the military industrial complex. Everything we've been talking about today. Today's show has been running on these very two parallel tracks. And, you know, Fauci right now, there was a poll that was asked by Trafalgar. And Trafalgar does great polling work. They're the most accurate pollsters out there right now. If you're wondering how many people think Fauci should be investigated by Congress for his inconsistent testimony about his research leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic, his actions managing the pandemic, 52% of the American people believe Fauci should be investigated, 52%. 44.5% say no. Now, you know what this comes down to. This comes down to the 44.5% is the we believe in science crowd. Look at our sign. We believe in science. That crowd made him a saint. That's why I jokingly say he's a Santo Fauci. They made him a saint, and they will never, ever suggest that he was wrong in anything. So Trafalgar, along with the Convention of States Project, did this very in-depth analysis on this. And that they looked at, with a response rate, by the way, of 1.14% and a margin of error of less than 3%, 95% confidence rate. It's a very, very good poll. And they ask a lot of questions. Should Dr. Fauci be investigated for his inconsistent testimony about his research leading up to the pandemic and then his actions in managing the pandemic? And when you look into some of the top lines in all this and some of the things that that you're looking at, the biggest age group that says he should be, in fact, investigated is 45 to 64%. That's critical. I really do. I think that there's a very important point. But the second group, it says that is 65%. Why is that? I think it's because those are the people that have seen the most damage of Fauci's edicts. You know what I mean? It's like if you I'm sorry, there's breaking news, Matt DeSantis. What are you jumping in here to say right now?
Oh, I don't know how breaking it is. It's news. It's news that just came out. Donald Trump will have his Facebook account reinstated, it looks like.
Oh, Facebook account will be reinstated.
Yeah. Well, it says Meta, but Meta is obviously the company that owns Facebook, so.
Meta, Facebook, the same thing. So he's going to be back on Facebook. Now, is he back on Twitter? Because I know that he was talking about going back on Twitter, but
he supposedly was going to come back to Twitter. But then there was also that rumor going around that if he started posting on social media websites other than Truth Social, he might be like financially responsible for its downfall. So I don't know. I'm not entirely sure which of those two rumors is accurate. All I know is he hasn't tweeted anything yet. So I assume there's something to the Truth Social one.
Well, I mean, I would just think that if he starts tweeting on Twitter, that Truth Social, basically, that's probably the end of Truth Social, isn't it?
I would think, because isn't that pretty much the main selling point of Truth Social, is you'll have access to Donald Trump's thoughts, exclusive access to his thoughts.
If he's sharing it on, access.
Yeah, if he's sharing it on other social media platforms, it kind of loses its luster.
I would think. It loses the exclusivity of it, you know? You know, the Home Depot co-founder, speaking of young people for a moment, I wanted to make this point. Bernie Marcus, who's the co-founder of Home Depot. I love going to Home Depot. You know, I go to Home Depot and I just walk around to feel manly. I don't even have to buy anything. I just walk around the store and look around and go, wow, man, I feel so manly. Look at all these things I can't do. Hang drywall, hang a picture. But nevertheless, I walk around there anyway. And well, anyway, he was on with Stuart Varney. He made a really important point about the state of American labor in this country, where things stand. I've called it it's the entitlement generation, the mooch generation, a nation of moochers that we've become. This is what he said, cut 27.
Maybe you could explain it to me. We have this recession we're talking about. People are being laid off. But I can tell you right now, after some meetings I had yesterday, you can't hire people. They don't want to work. Nobody wants to work anymore, especially in office people. They want to work 3 days a week. It's incredible. And how do you have a recession when you have people that don't want jobs? There are plenty of jobs out there.
How do you explain this? How do you explain the attitude of this young generation? Because clearly you don't think much to them, do you? How do you explain why they are like they are?
Well, they're entitled. They're given everything. The government, in many cases, if you don't work, you get as much money as when you did work. So, Stuart, if I'm in a situation where I have to go work 40 hours a week and I'm paid money to stay home and it's equivalent to what I would earn, why do I want to go to work?
Fair enough.
And so you get this laziness, which you have, and it's basically a socialistic society.
Yeah, basically is a socialist society. Well, I think he's really onto something here, but I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that we're both watching right now. We're watching what's playing out here, and that is that there's so many reasons why you don't have to work in this country because the government just keeps giving you money. And what's the impetus to get off your couch and actually go to work if you keep getting money? That's the thing. And you also get health insurance for everything, too. Don't forget, a big part of the COVID scam that we've talked about is the expansion of Medicare. I'll get into this more in detail, obviously, but we're just scratching the surface of all this. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Hey, question for you. What do you want to do about Ukraine? What do you think should happen? I made the point at the opening of the show today. I believe Congress needs to do something here. Either pass a declaration of war because we are at war here with Russia, or we gotta figure out when we're calling this a day here because this can't go on forever. And right now, the executive, the president, the commander in chief is calling all the shots. Here. That's not how it's supposed to work. Congress declares war, not the president of the United States. What do you think should happen? Do you think we should have a declaration of war? Do you think we should get out? Do you think we should end this? Because I just see this escalating and escalating, especially by this latest move by Biden today with 31 M1 Abrams tanks, which is going to do nothing in the scheme of things. And also, yes, as Dr. Coates pointed out, weakens our resolve because we are once again doing what Germany tells us. 855-839-1210 is the number. Cherry Hill Volvo is on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Great people, and they're going to take great care of you. You know, I drive a Volvo. I love driving a Volvo because they're fast, safe, smart cars. Incredibly comfortable, luxurious. What are you waiting for? Go see them today. You'll get a previously enjoyed Volvo. These cars are great. Less than 80,000 miles on them. And also, too, an incredible warranty. And like all Volvos, they are the top of the line when it comes to the technology and safety for you and your family. Right now, these roads are terrible out there. Driving to work today and realizing how slick the roads are, and there's so many idiots out there that don't know how to drive in the rain and drive in the snow. So you want that level of safety because your safety is your number one priority. And at Cherry Hill Volvo, you're going to get great customer service, too, because it's about relationships. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios for a reason. So I saw my buddy Dave recently. He bought the S-Class, beautiful S-Class, made right here in South Carolina at their plant down there. Thousands of American jobs. Talked to my buddy today. They're very happy with their XC90, the family car. They drove up to Lake Placid last weekend. Plenty of room. Very stylish ride. As you can imagine, the kiddos all had plenty of room to stretch out as well. So Judith Krupnik, my friend, and Yosef, the general sales manager, will take great, great care of you. And a previously enjoyed Volvo, a Cherry Hill Volvo, is a like new car without the new car price tag. And right now they're having an amazing sale on these amazing certified previously enjoyed Volvos with a great warranty, low mileage, and they're not going to let that car be at Cherry Hill Volvo unless it is beautiful and it is up to their standards. You'll never get any pressure, but you will get an amazing experience with my friends right over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Closer to midnight, that's fun. Declaring a catastrophe for humanity, or if you are a fan of comic books, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Doomsday Clock, the Watchmen, of course. It's so silly, the Doomsday Clock. It's stupid, but nevertheless, it's about fear-mongering and fear. You know, always got to be afraid. You got to keep you afraid at all times, kids. Remember that. Any day now, it's catastrophe. And usually it's about climate change, of course, but nuclear war as well. Climate change and nuclear war. This time around, it's particularly climate change. As, of course, you know, the world any minute now is going to end, even though they've been predicting this stuff since the 1970s. Joe is in Ambler. Joe, how are you tonight? What's going on?
Hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, we're getting a big laugh, you know what I mean, out of your show tonight, as usual. You know what I mean? Especially when you're making comments about, you know, the U.S. sending tanks over to the Ukraine. And, you know, you got experts on talking about we're sending Bradleys. Bradleys were used with, those are the patented tanks, my friend. And then on top of that, you're saying it's the, what, Abrams M1? So a question to you.
Yeah.
General,
I don't know. I don't sell tanks. I'm not like a tank expert. Yeah.
Well,
I actually used to sell used tanks. I had a used tank supply store in college just to pay my tuition back then. But it's been a long time, you know, since I've dealt tanks.
You got a Bradley.
I'm not a tank expert since I don't sell them. But what's your point?
Okay. Well, no, you're just commenting on the types of equipment that we're sending them, and it's, you know, you're trying to make the point, or maybe making the point, or maybe you're just trying to, you know, maybe it's just a joke too that, you know, the tanks are.
What is a joke? Would you make a point, please? Make a point.
Well, here's a serious note. Before you go mouthing off and telling people that there's wars in other countries and that we got kids in the military and you don't have any kids in the military, maybe you should shut your mouth before you go starting up about wars.
Oh, so I can only have a comment if I have kids in the military. Is that it? Is that in the Constitution? I can only have a comment if my children are in the military?
We do have kids in the military serve, but we don't like to hear creeps like you saying the wars have started.
Well, then don't listen then. Well, then why do you listen? I'm out of curiosity. Can you wait, hang on. I'm going to put you on pause for a second because you just won't shut up. Hang on. Let me ask you a question, Joe. If you don't like what you're hearing, why are you listening? Why torture yourself like that? Go ahead.
Because it's the humor. It's because listen to how you
I am
talk.
Funny. You're that's true. I am funny. All right, I'm going to put you on hold again. I'm going to ask you a quick question because we don't have all night for this. As much as everybody's enjoying the Joe Show, what would you like to see happen here with regards to Ukraine? Go ahead.
Kicking the teeth of the Russians. How about that?
Okay, what does that mean,
General
Joe?
Fugazi.
What does that? Okay, I'm going to put you on hold again. I'm going to put you on hold again, Joe. What does that mean, kicking the teeth of the Russians? What does that mean?
Supplying 40-year-old tanks if it takes. You don't think that would work?
That's okay, well, let me ask you a question. Hang on. I'll put you on hold again. You started by saying these are old tanks. They're inconsequential, yet you want us to kick the teeth out of Ukraine. So I guess I'm asking you, you don't agree with the decision then to send tanks to Ukraine today, or you just don't like these tanks?
Yes, we are sending the tanks, and that's all we need to do. Why is it that you think that we need to drop
So you think these tanks, I'll put you on hold again. Why do you think if these tanks are old and inconsequential, they're really going to kick the teeth out of Russia? You really believe that?
We already got them on the back foot now.
Then why send the tanks?
Why not? To kick the teeth.
Why not, right?
When you have
Why only send
on
31? Why not send 300?
You use the other foot to kick the teeth in. You don't just sit on one foot with the one foot on the neck. You use it to kick their head in.
With 31 tanks.
With
31 old and I'll put you on hold again. With 31 old and inconsequential tanks, your words, that's going to kick the teeth into Putin. Is that right?
And the crux of it is Germany sending their top notch. How many
top
are they
notch.
Sending again?
Oh.
Do you have
so,
that number?
Right. So let me ask you another question, then I'll put you on hold here. So if Germany's sending our top-notch tanks and we're sending in old and inconsequential tanks, it doesn't sound like we're really kicking the teeth out of Putin now, does it, Joe?
Well, again, what do we need to do but push them out of the Ukraine? They're already at the border, are they not?
I don't know. So then why not send 300 tanks?
You talk
like I don't know.
Fugazi General, put me on hold.
Just going to let you go, I think, Joe. You have a wonderful night. You got a little agitated today, a little fired up. Is it Wednesday? Is that why? You don't like hump day?
What's your show, Fugazi General? I'll come and help
it's
you
Fugazi,
out again, okay?
It's Fugazi, not Fugazi. And don't appropriate my people. It's Fugazi.
Fugazi General.
Good time and happy hour today, Joe?
No, I don't drink at all, my friend.
Maybe you should start. Just thinking about that. Maybe you should, you know, tie one on. All right, thank you. I got it. It's Fugazi, not Fugazi. All right, if you're going to use it right, please. All right? And you're not Italian, I don't think. If you are, you're an insult to the Italian people because you can't even say Fugazi. But if you're not Italian, then don't appropriate my people by using my word. What's next? You're going to start cooking the food of my people? Huh? Joe? See, the problem with an idiot like Joe is that he doesn't understand how he's just contradicting himself all over the place. He says we're going to kick the teeth out of Putin, and he's he's critical of the fact that we're only sending in 31 tanks. That's exactly the point. What are we doing here? What are we doing? It has been a year. We're not kicking the teeth into Putin. Either we got to do what we need to do, or we need to get the hell out because this isn't working. It's not working. This piecemeal drip, 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 sending billions and billions of dollars and tanks and this, and all it does is it's just going to keep escalating things. And as this keeps escalating, we got to keep sending more and more hardware and more this. And this is exactly how Vietnam progressed. And what I don't understand is how you can sit here and say that we are achieving anything by sending them 31 tanks. And first of all, where did you come up with 31? Why not 32? Why not 30? What's with the 31 tanks? And you keep hearing Zelensky say he needs air cover. He needs planes. Well, how soon until we send planes? So we can send fighter jets in there so that we can make sure we kick the teeth out of Putin. And then at what point do we need to just start doing aerial bombings of Russia? Because, well, they're blowing up our tanks. They're going to be blowing up our tanks. Obviously, this is a war. So then at what point do we just say we got to start, you know, NATO needs to just go in and just invade or just go in? I mean, at what point does this happen? And you see, that's the reason why I have such a problem with Joe Biden doing this in the way he's doing it, because the commander in chief is not supposed to be declaring war. Congress is, and Congress is not doing that. So we're not debating any of this stuff. We're not having these kind of debates. We don't understand how long we're in this, how much this costs us. And if we've decided now we're going to go all in, then we go all in like we did when we defeated Germany in World War II, or we defeated Japan in World War II. But this little piecemeal, here's some tanks, here's some guns, here's some bullets, in a couple months we'll send you maybe a helicopter, maybe a couple months after that we'll send you a, you know, like a Glock 9. I mean, it's just so stupid what we're doing here. And what infuriates me is that once again, we are not engaging the legislative branch of government as per the Constitution. And whether you're pro-war in Ukraine or you're anti-war in Ukraine, we have a rule book in this country called the Constitution of the United States of America. I know Joe's never read it and he doesn't care, because guys like him don't care. The Constitution is irrelevant to them. It just constrains them and constrains government, and they don't like that. So as long as their guy's doing it, they don't care how much power their guy amasses. They don't care what their guy does, as long as they agree with them. But I've read the Constitution. I know you have as well. And I know that you know what I know, which is that the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief. Once Congress has declared war, the War Powers Resolution gives the President a limited window of time to deal with an imminent threat to the homeland, which has been extended to our allies. But it's been a year. War Powers Act is 60 days. It's been a year. So at what point does the United States Congress put up or shut up here? And at what point does the American people get to have a say in this through their elected representatives as per the representative republic that we are in this country? And I know guys like Joe don't care about that because he wants to believe we're a democracy with his dumb laugh. But the truth is, we have representatives who are supposed to represent us. I haven't been asked my thoughts on this. Have you? By members of Congress, because they don't have to ask. You see, as long as they can pass the buck to Biden, they're happy with it. As long as they can keep passing the buck, they're happy with it. And this is a big part of the problem in this country right now. The executive branch of government has amassed so much power, and Congress is basically irrelevant. Executive agencies make rules, they ban things, they regulate us, they tell us what to do, they boss us around. And Congress does nothing about it. And then when they try to do something about it, like with oversight, they get stonewalled by who? The executive branch of government. And it continues. But Joe had a good laugh. 855-839-1210 is the number. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. All right, big 20-something minutes of show still left to go till we're out for women's Parcheesi tonight. But in the meantime, I want to tell you about USA Insulation. Because USA Insulation will do great work for your home, just like it did for my home. And you know, right now you can get a 30% energy tax credit to help pay for the cost of the insulation. USAinsulation.net. USAinsulation.net. I used them because our home was cold all the time. Our home was built in the 1960s. It was freezing. It was, you know, you touch the walls and you'd feel that chill. Before you turn up the thermostat, think about the war on energy that Biden is waging. Think about the war on energy and ask yourself a question. Do you think energy prices are going to go down in the years to come, or are they going to go up? If you've got an insulation problem, do something about it now, because you know energy prices are just going to keep going up. But at least you will do what you can to make sure your home is comfortable and more energy efficient. 1-800-USA-FOAM. Take advantage of that 30% government tax credit today when you insulate your home with their premium foam insulation, which gets you into spots that other insulation just can't. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, we got a big half hour tonight till some sporting contest of some sort, as Joe Biden announces he's sending tanks to Ukraine for Zelensky's birthday. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Here is President Joe Biden today from the White House as he talks about all of this. And let me see now. I think I have the clip here. Matt DeSantis, I'm sure you remember exactly where it is.
I got it.
Joe Biden, take a listen.
Armored capability, as General Austin will tell you, has been critical. And that's why the United States has committed hundreds of armored fighting vehicles to date, including more than 500 as part of the assistance package we announced last Friday. And today I'm announcing that the United States will be sending 31 Abram tanks to Ukraine, the equivalent of one Ukrainian battalion. Secretary Austin has recommended this step because it will enhance the Ukraine's capacity to defend its territory and achieve its strategic objectives. The Abrams tanks are the most capable tanks in the world. They're also extremely complex to operate and maintain. So we're also giving Ukraine the parts and equipment necessary to effectively sustain these tanks on the battlefield. And we'll begin to train the Ukrainian troops on these issues of sustainment, logistics, and maintenance as soon as possible.
Just so you know, regarding Twitter and Facebook and all that with regards to President Trump, let's see here. Thanks to a couple of people who have sent this to me. Trump essentially is not going to be able to raise money on Facebook, which is why this is significant, obviously, as he's running for president of the United States again. Facebook is a big vehicle. It actually reaches more people in terms of politics and everything like that than Twitter does in that sense. So that's why it's a big deal for him to be reinstated on Facebook. And also, obviously, if he uses Facebook, which he did very successfully in 2016 and 2020, he can raise money. And then he also doesn't have to worry about hurting Truth Social because it's really two different kind of experiences. That's an important point on that. Let me go to Robert. He's in Philadelphia. Robert, on a Wednesday night, what's going on?
Hey, brother. Listen, don't let that guy frazzle you out. You made a lot of good points. Like, this guy has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. And if it was President Trump in office doing the exact same thing, he'd be reading the Constitution then and telling you how unconstitutional it is. And since he has children and the military, he should be worried about, you know, his children, not worried about, you know, the tanks that's supposed to be going over there. He's an idiot.
He is an idiot. I didn't get rattled, though. I like to do that from time to time just to test my skills to make sure I still got the eye of the tiger. You know what I mean? It's like when Rocky had to fight Spider Rico, you know?
I do the same thing on Twitter and Facebook. And it's like, these people don't understand, and I'm quite sure that if given the same circumstances, you'd be saying how unconstitutional it is, no matter who's in office.
Exactly right, Robert. Well said, my brother. Thank you for the call, my friend. Have a great night. 855-839-1210. Excellent point. Yeah, no, I do that sometimes because I can. And also it helps with whatever tension I have in my life. It helps get it out. But no, I really do some. And Sean, to his credit, because Sean's joining us tonight, helping us out as the associate producer. And Sean said to me in my ear, he goes, you know, Rich, I really like when you blow up callers. So I think you should talk to him. Because DeSantis came on, right? And Matt, what did you say to me?
I said that he was going to be a little bit fired up and that it was fine if you took the call. It was also fine if you just let him sit on hold for the next 30 minutes. I was kind of indifferent. But right. Sean voted for chaos.
Oh, yeah, of course. I love it because that's what entertaining is. A lot of people were so, you know, blown up about that. And you put on a good show. You know, we like a little competition from time to time just to test you out. You know, we got to make sure we keep you on your P's and Q's.
Gotta keep me on my toes, man. You need a good sparring partner. It's so funny because Sean said that. He goes, I'm just saying, I think you should take him, blow him up. I think you should do it. I'm like, all right, let's see if we can do it. You know, give the old college try. Well, thanks, gentlemen. That was fun. Matt is in Center City. Matt, how are you tonight?
Good, Rich. Longtime listener, infrequent caller.
Well, thank you for being a longtime listener. I appreciate it very much.
And I'm sure you're probably getting bumped for intramural pickleball championship tonight.
I swear, if they ever put pickleball on this radio station, I'll quit. I will. That's where I draw the line, is that freaking pickleball, that trendy sport. I'm done with it.
So my thought lately, when COVID hit and we're basically in a recession, it made me start thinking about history, Rich, like World War II, like... I mean, what we're kind of doing with Ukraine now is like Lend-Lease with, you know, the English at the time, England. And the way we got out of the Depression was World War II. Like, war is a good way to decrease the surplus population and stimulate an economy. And with a president on the ropes, like Biden is, and like Kanye Clinton did during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, you know, a little bit of the dog, you know, the tail wagging the dog type thing, I'm afraid might be going on. And I think a lot of people just don't know their history. And I'm just curious what you're thinking might be going, because it seems like it's going that way.
I think that what President Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell address, when he talked about to be wary of the military-industrial complex, was exactly right, Matt. And I think that every president really does, at the end of the day, want to be a wartime president, except Donald Trump. He didn't, which is part of the reason why I supported him so early on. He doesn't want to be. He didn't want to be.
And that's the reason they got rid of him.
I agree. You're 100% right. I told him that countless times. I told him that when I was in the Oval Office with him, too. I said, the reason why they want to stop you is you are not a warmonger. War makes people rich. It makes people very, very rich.
And rich, the American population has the attention span of a gnat. So if all of a sudden we're going to war, this whole thing against Biden, Hunter, will be forgotten. And everybody's just going to be, it's the drive-by media, like Rush said back in the day.
Exactly right. Matt, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
Go, Rich. Have a good night.
You too, my friend. Thank you. Breaking news, Greg Price just tweeted out, the National Institute of Health Inspector General has reported that Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases gave money to EcoHealth, which then funded research on coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology without properly monitoring whether they were using it for dangerous research. That just came out, and we'll definitely do more on this tomorrow when I'm not bumped for women's ping pong. Confederate Mark says, Rich, you rock it again, busting the chops of warmongers. War anywhere, at war anytime, for any reason, is a cogent, and I did it in a cogent intellectual manner. Even simpletons like Joe should be able to get it. Well, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. And there's some good tweets tonight, too. And the greater Chris asking, you know, I wonder why the founders didn't put in checks and balances in some document that establishes our elected officials' power to authorize military actions and limit the executive from prolonged unilateral military engagements. I know they weren't that forward thinking back then, Chris. What can I tell you? Man, it's good stuff tonight. Let me play Rand Paul for you real quick before we have to go here. Rand Paul was talking about censorship and how it relates to COVID. He did an interview with Eric Bolling on Newsmax, and he talked about overclassification as well, which is a big problem. And all this stuff with classified documents, you know, Rand Paul has made this point time and time again. Why do we have so many things that are classified in this country? Why do we have so many documents that are classified from the American people, for example? Cut 8.
If you take notes, if I read a classified document and I want to take notes for myself,
The notes remain there also. I can go back and look at my notes at any time. But it is something that we do have a procedure for. I don't understand how they wind up at everyone's houses. I do think, though, that ultimately we need to use the same standard for everyone. And we need to realize that part of this problem is overclassification of documents. When this came up and Trump had some documents, the left-wing media acted as if, oh, these are the Manhattan Project. This is the secrets to the nuclear weapon. No one ever hands you a document. And if they do, I'm certain that they must get the document back if it has the plans on how to make nuclear weapons. Really, most of the stuff we see is not really that secret, but it's all stamped that way. The intelligence community does this, so they have more power and we have less power. I have long argued that Congress needs to know more and the American people need to know more about what the CIA does, what the FBI does, because we can't oversee them. We can't have oversight and reform if we don't know what they're doing, and they avoid oversight by classifying things. And often there's a policy decision, like, for example, with COVID, we need to know if COVID came from a lab so we can prevent this from happening again. Some of this is being stymied by the intelligence agencies classifying things that need to be declassified. So,
yeah, he's exactly right. And you know, as this stuff comes out about the origins of COVID-19, and it's very, very obvious how this virus was created in a lab in conjunction with the Chinese military and, yes, Anthony Fauci and his EcoHealth Alliance and all of it, I bet you a lot of that stuff is classified. I think the senator is exactly right on this point. He also talked about the FBI as well and how you will actually ever reform, if you can ever reform the FBI. Cut 10.
I think it's swamp fever, Potomac fever. The ones closest to the swamp have become infected with influence and power in politics. You know, I play golf with a retired FBI agent. He's conservative. Most of the agents that I meet in the field are conservative. They're typical law enforcement kind of people. But then when you meet the politicians, the FBIs, Director Wray, you see political animals, Comey. You see people involved in politics. God forbid you talk about Brennan or Clapper. Since they have left office, you've seen how far left-wing they are. Mm. We should have suspected as much with, you know, Brennan, since he supported the communist candidate in 1976. But really, it's a political class up here that is corruptible and become very left-wing. The Peter Strzoks and his mistress, these are the people infiltrating the FBI at the highest levels. We need a thorough cleaning. It's only going to happen if we get a president who gets rid of the top 10% and brings in some law enforcement people from out in Kansas or Kentucky or someplace, people who truly are law enforcement people. And let's repopulate the FBI at the top with real law enforcement people, not only politicians.
I don't know if it'll work, though. That's the thing. I mean, as much as I love Rand Paul, I think he's being overly optimistic there. The problem is that the bureaucracy protects itself always and over again. We see this all the time. It's why Levin calls it the federal Leviathan. Oh, by the way, programming note, I'm filling in for the great one next Friday. What is it? The 3rd, I think it is. Just if you want to mark that on your calendar. And we'll take his 6 o'clock hour live here on 1210 WPHD that night, unless he's bumped for, you know, women's Jello wrestling, which actually that would be worth getting bumped for.
I don't think that translates over the radio, though.
Buffy has Matilda in green lime Jello. All for charity, kids. But I think Rand Paul's being overly optimistic, because the federal Leviathan will always protect itself. And these people know that they can outlast the director, they outlast the president, they outlast everybody. And that's really a big part of the problem. I don't know if just replacing people at the top is enough. Here's something else, too, that I want to share with you before the show comes to a stunning close tonight. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is a ghoul. She really is. On the federal level, Senator Ted Cruz and the Republicans right now are trying to give back pay and reinstate every single member of the United States military who was released for not getting the COVID vaccine. Good. They deserve that. In New York State, they're direct opposite. She refuses to rehire healthcare workers who were fired for refusing the COVID jab. Cut 24.
Our healthcare systems seem in desperate need of staff right now. We've had ambulances waiting 5 hours at our local emergency rooms to unload patients. The hospitals, the nursing homes say they're waiting for DOH guidance on whether they can hire any of those workers back. What's the latest with that?
Well, we're considering all our options with respect to the litigation, so I can't comment on that. But I'll say that last year in my state, we put forth a plan to help retention, also recruitment. And a lot of those programs are just unfolding out. $20 billion to bring back the healthcare system, including bonuses for existing workers, helping settle nursing strikes, which I get very involved in to make sure that patients are being cared for. It's a problem, but I don't think the answer is to have someone who comes in who's sick be exposed to someone who can give them the coronavirus, give them COVID-19. I don't know that that's the right answer. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. So we're exploring our options, but I think everybody who goes into a healthcare facility or a nursing home should have the assurance, and their family members should know, that we have taken all steps to protect the public health, and that includes making sure those who come in contact with them at their time of most vulnerability, when they are sick or elderly, will not pass on the virus. We lost 34 New Yorkers yesterday. We have 4,000 active cases. This has not gone away as much as we wish it would.
Couldn't there be other safety precautions, masking, other mechanisms in order to allow some of them back in? I mean, we're at crisis level here in our hospitals, and particularly our nursing homes.
I truly understand the challenge and the balance, and these are never easy decisions. But I cannot put people into harm's way, because when you go into a healthcare facility, you expect that you're not going to come out sicker than you went in. I think that's something every New Yorker would expect.
Actually, people in New York facilities went in there and died, actually, during COVID when Governor Cuomo was governor. But I have a couple questions here. Does the vaccine stop transmission of COVID-19? Is that a new thing that they just came out with like today? Because no. Oh, it doesn't. Oh, so then how does that matter then? How does that matter? Because you could be vaccinated and still give somebody COVID. And also, too, aren't these people in these healthcare facilities who are there, don't they have the option at this point to be vaccinated if they want to be vaccinated? So basically, a vaccinated person can give it to a vaccinated person still. So both people could still be vaccinated, still get each other sick. But that's irrelevant, right, to the point. So instead, we're going to have a healthcare crisis where people may be dying of other things besides COVID-19 in the state of New York. And we don't have enough people on the front lines to help them. Because of your stupid vaccine policy, because the left will never refuses. They will never, ever say that they're wrong. They can't. They live on this idea of this false religion of science, whether it's climate change or COVID or the vaccines or anything else. And they can never, ever, ever, ever say they're wrong, because all those people with the hate has no home here signs and the we believe in science, putting all their pictures of them with their little stickers on, their Band-Aids on, and Facebook and Instagram, we'd lose a lot of faith in them now. Such fraud. So instead, we'll have a healthcare crisis, a crisis of treatment, and somehow that's okay. It's ridiculous. Here is Senator Ted Cruz regarding what the Americans Act would do. Cut 25.
Look, we had an enormous victory last month when we finally repealed Joe Biden's abusive vaccine mandate in the military. Joe Biden, over the last 2 years, had fired thousands upon thousands of soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and Coast Guardsmen. And it was abusive. It was wrong. And I joined with a number of others in leading the fight to end this mandate. And we wrote it into law and forced Biden to sign it into law. So the good news is the mandate in the military is over going forward. The bad news is that we only repealed it prospectively. So there are thousands upon thousands of servicemen and women who fought for our country, who Joe Biden and the Democrats wrongfully fired. I've introduced legislation called the Americans Act that would enable every one of those servicemen and women wrongfully fired to be reinstated, to restore their previous rank, to restore their back pay, to restore their previous benefits. And for those who choose not to be reinstated, there's some who are fired, who moved on to the private sector and might decide not to come back, to ensure that any discharge they have is an honorable discharge and not simply a general discharge, so they get their full benefits. They were targeted. They were persecuted. It was illegal. It was unjustified. And I'll tell you, Sean, I'm going to keep fighting for every one of these soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and Coast Guardsmen until justice is finally served.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good. I agree with that 100%. 100%. And people should absolutely support that. And good. Fight that fight. But Biden won't let it happen. You know, DeSantis last night made another point Governor DeSantis, he said, and this is a very important point, as of right now in the United States of America, do you know that that tennis player? I'm going to pull a Biden here. What's his name? Djokovic? Djokovic,
yeah, I don't
right?
know tennis, but I think you're correct, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know tennis either. It's another dumb sport. But anyway, it's dumb. Back and forth, back and forth.
They're preempting us tomorrow night, I think.
Yeah, tomorrow it's tennis we're getting bumped for. Back and forth and back and forth and back and enough already. But anyway, this tennis player, Djokovic, is not vaccinated, and he still cannot play in the United States of America because Joe Biden will not drop the vaccine requirement for people to enter our country. But if you come across the southern border, come on in. No vaccination card required. It's such a joke. It really is. It's so stupid. This is a and our buddy Tom Massey, Congressman Tom Massey, our favorite member of Congress. He just tweeted out a short time ago. He's thanking people to co-sponsor his bill to end the COVID-19 vaccine mandate for international air travelers. He says the CDC's unscientific mandate is separating too many people from their families and has been doing so for far too long. It needs to end. Good. Yes, excellent. But this report on the National Institutes of Health Inspector General has reported that Dr. Fauci's National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases gave money to EcoHealth Alliance, which then funded research on coronaviruses at the WIV, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, without properly monitoring whether they were using it for dangerous research. That is an IG report, and it just came out. It's hot off the presses. So you heard about it here for the first time today, and we'll make sure that we go in depth on it with you tomorrow. But I wanted to make sure that I shared that with you before the show ended today. Chinese COVID lockdown protesters are still missing right now. We don't talk about that ever, of course. We never talk about that. But CNN's Selena Wang, you know, actually, it's I don't have enough time. It's too long of a clip, so I'll come back to that tomorrow. But it's a very important point, and I want to make sure we get into it, and I don't want to just rush over it. But I will play this for you, assuming it's not too long. The World Health Organization, Tedros, this is the guy in charge there, urges people to take COVID seriously, but declares that the next global crisis will be, dun-dun-dun, as we move the doomsday clock closer to midnight, kids. Ooh, creepy. Cut 23.
Surveillance and genetic sequencing have declined dramatically, making it more difficult to track known variants and detect new ones. And there is a torrent of pseudoscience and misinformation circulating, which is undermining trust in safe and effective tools for COVID-19. My message is clear. Do not underestimate this virus. It has and will continue to surprise us, and it will continue to kill, unless we do more to get health tools to people that need them and to comprehensively tackle misinformation. COVID-19 is not the only threat facing humanity. Since the turn of the year, I have spoken about the myriad threats that demand an unprecedented response, from cholera to conflict to the climate crisis.
So the climate crisis, COVID, all of these things are the reason why the doomsday clock is moving a second closer to midnight, obviously freaking all of us out. Let me just say also, too, and I wanted to mention, you know, last night listening to Governor DeSantis, a big theme of what he was talking about was freedom. And obviously a big part of that is has to do with schools and what we're dealing with in schools and the ability to make sure that we can teach, have our children have school choice. Do you know that hundreds of students in Pennsylvania actually went to Harrisburg I hope it's successful anyway, to protest for school choice because it's National School Choice Week. And I think that that's really important to notice. And I also think it's important to think about the story that I shared with you the other day from Reason.com, the reason why we have a federal Department of Education is thanks to the successful lobbying of a number of different groups. In its early iteration, they were not successful. However, they tried, and that was the Ku Klux Klan. Johnny Cook points out, he says, Matt, wanted to correct caller Matt. It says World War II did not end the Depression. It made it worse. True, but I think his larger point, though, was just about people making money off of war, which I think is the reason why I didn't, you know, feel the need to correct him on that point. But the writ large point about how profitable war is for people, especially in this day and age when you're not in the middle of a Great Depression, I think is something that we just can't dismiss clearly a lot of those defense contractors and all the associated stocks that those lawmakers buy is certainly making them a little cheddar cheese. All right, we got to get out of here, unfortunately, but nevertheless, what's the game tonight, Matt DeSantis? Women's Temple. Horseshoes.
No.
Temple Horseshoes.
Close enough.
Close enough. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Sean, great job. Thanks, buddy. Matt, thank you. I'm on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. Tweet me. Let's hang out. I'm going to have dinner with the kids. See ya. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.